Why the race to 5G is a bet on a multi-trillion-dollar industry. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. The next generation of wireless technology, 5G, could be a huge deal. The speed, the number of devices that can be connected could spawn entirely new businesses that we haven't even thought of yet. Last year, chipmaker Qualcomm and tech research firm IHS Technology put out a report that said 5G could enable $12 trillion in economic output across the world by 2035. Not to mention some 22 million jobs. The report quite sincerely compared 5G to electricity. Now compare that to 4G, which just in the United States contributed about $500 billion to the economy in 2016. And even a whiff of that potential is why there's a race to get to 5G first, between companies and even countries. Scott Tong is a Marketplace reporter and former China correspondent. He said the U.S. was a 4G winner, and China doesn't want that to happen again.
The companies, the innovation that was built on this technology, right, whether it is social networking or gaming or video, a lot of those companies that built their products on top of this infrastructure were American companies. So the U.S. was kind of the hub for this, you know, giant economic boost for the country. And that is why so many countries, you have the European Union, Japan, South Korea, all investing billions in this, tens of billions. And then, of course, there's China, which has invested more than any of these competitors as far as the infrastructure. So the assumption is if you're first to kind of build this 10-lane superhighway in the sky, that, you know, if you build it, they're going to come, right? That these companies and these innovators are going to come to your country.
Yeah. What are people saying about the challenges of rolling out this infrastructure?
One of the great big challenges that comes up over and over with 5G is how expensive it is to build the network. And one reason is because of the nature of the frequency where these signals are going to be transmitted is the cells are going to have to be really close together. So every little physical piece of the infrastructure is going to have to be much closer together than it is now. Now, they don't have to be these big giant cell phone towers. The nature of the technology is, you know, it could be a small little pizza box size thing on top of a light pole. But all those have to be installed. You have to negotiate with the city or the owner of a house to be able to put it there. So one of the price tags that one of the consulting firms said was, you know, on the order of $300 billion in the U.S. to build this out.
So what is the timeline for the rollout compared to some of those other places?
So the first 5G phones, there's talk that they'll be coming out in the next year. In 2 or 3 years, there's talk that some of the networks will be commercial ready to move into this Internet of Things. These machines that talk to one another will be out on the market. You know, what's the broader timeline? Well, you know, a lot of folks in the industry talk about a 5-year rollout. And even more broadly, that each of the past generations of wireless technology, 3G, 4G, each of those generations has been about a decade. So maybe that kind of order of magnitude.
Scott Tong is a Marketplace reporter and our former China correspondent. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about the tension between companies who want to roll out 5G infrastructure and the cities who want some say in that process. And now for some related links. No, the new Pixel phones that Google announced yesterday are not 5G enabled. That's not a knock. I'm just pointing it out because it's related. But Google did announce its own new smart speaker with a display attached. It does have built-in YouTube, so if you, like so many people, use your smart speaker as a kitchen device, you now have kind of a little kitchen TV. Also, unlike Amazon's Echo Show and the newly announced Facebook Portal, the Google Home Hub does not have a camera built in. So other than collecting all your data, it's maybe a little more private. Now, I ran a little Instagram poll earlier this week to see how people felt about the Portal, the Echo, the Google smart speakers, and even Apple's kind of sort of Siri-enabled HomePod, and people were not that enthusiastic. So let's increase the sample size. Email me. Are you into smart speakers in general, or do you think they're the world's cleverest national voluntary in-home wiretap? And does a screen or a camera make a gadget like this more of a must-have, or more of a no-thank-you-never-in-a-million-years kind of thing? mptech@marketplace.org is my email address, and this will be part of a conversation later this week. Also, I got a great email from Chris DeSell about how he loves to listen to Marketplace Tech and Make Me Smart with his teenage daughter. But, he said, she asked him, why does she always say she's a nerd for being smart? He writes, I didn't know how to answer that, but unconsciously, you're saying to all the young girls in the world, if you're smart, you're a nerd? There are so few girls in the STEM field, and you've done numerous stories on this subject. I love it that you're smart and educate all of us on a daily basis. You are a leader to all the young girls in the world, so please stop saying you're a nerd. Thanks for the email, Chris. And that was super interesting because I guess I thought it was a good thing, like owning it, reclaiming the term. I like being a nerd. But now I'm going to think on it some more because you make a good point. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.